WTSQ 88.1 FM, the status quo.
You're listening to Amplified AM with Danny D on WTSQ, the status quo. And with me in the studio is my good friend Joe Justice of Joe Justice Media, to here to talk about some of his work. And thank you so much for joining me, Joe.
Well, first off, Danny, thank you for letting me on here, WTSQ. Really excited to be on here, the status quo. Can't wait to get into it.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about what that is you do.
You know what? I help like local Appalachian businesses just get attention using video. I really feel like video is the best way to connect with audiences, and especially on social media platforms. And it's just, once upon a time, it used to be a lot easier if you're going to do video, it was going to be a 30-second spot on TV or something like that. Today, there's so many different choices, so many different platforms, everything from YouTube to stories to Reels and TikTok and everything else. So all I really do is help people kind of understand those spaces and to most effectively reach their audience and get attention.
I've looked into a lot of what you do, and I want to know more about your short form content. I know how important that is. And what was really the turning point for you to actually start doing more short form content for the businesses that you help?
Yeah, so the important, when it comes to short form content versus long form content, short form content is for intention, short form content is for attention, long form content is for intention. So the short form is how you grab people's attention. And after you grab people's attention with something short, you know, maybe some piece of information, maybe something entertaining or something like that, then you want them to have the opportunity to spend time with your brand. If you're a business or an entertainer, you want them to learn more. So even if you're like a stand-up comedian, you want them to be able to, you want your joke, your, you know, 30-second joke, but then you also want to have that longer video that might be like an hour-long special or something like that they can spend time with you and learn more about you.
Yeah, so you want to grab them and then you want them to come to them just with that little bit so that they could learn more with the long-form content that you shoot, right?
Yeah, and that's the difference between the two mediums. Your short-form stuff is much more like attention-grabbing, and that's its structure, that's what it's supposed to do. And then the longer stuff is usually more educational or story-driven.
Yeah, I've seen that what you do is you will shoot long-form content, and then you'll take little snippets out of that and then actually put that as, like, TikToks. What is the stuff that you see as attention-grabbing? When you're shooting that, like, when you're going through it, what is the stuff that you see as, I want to make that little snippet that I put on TikTok and their Facebook?
Yeah, so when it comes to developing which portions are going to be attention grabbing, you usually, the easiest thing you can do, honestly, is anything that's provocative. So anything that, you know, is going to be outside of the status quo, for example, anything that people are going to, you know, think, well, that's not quite right. But then in addition to that, you also want it to be self-contained. So you don't want to have, you don't want to have like half a story, because it's going to confuse people.
Yeah.
So you want it to be clear. You want it to be either educational and preferably provocative. Provocative is going to be the most powerful thing that's going to, because then people are going to say, what does he mean by this, or what does this mean? And then they're going to look more into your brand.
Do you have different approaches for different kinds of businesses that ask you for help?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So for example, if you're, I like to work with people's personalities. There's no value. Well, I'll be provocative. There's no value, Danny, in me if you like trying to present. I can already tell I've only known you for a short time here, but trying to present you as some kind of like, you know, gym bro, you know, like acting out and then like screaming and yelling and, you know, that type of thing. You could probably do that for a short period of time. You could do that for 6 months or something like that. But you'll eventually get found out. Right. And I think it's the same thing with businesses. You have to work with the personality of the person that you're working with. And, you know, if they're a quiet, mousy personality, then you have to work with that, because that'll attract a certain type of person. It's not going to attract everybody. At the same time, if they're big and they're bombastic and they're always saying, these guys suck and I'm the best, you know, you might not act that way, but that doesn't mean, just because you would act that way doesn't mean that A, that doesn't attract people, and that B, that it would be the right thing to do to shoehorn them into, oh, you need to calm it down. You need to, that's not their personality. If they're a big bombastic personality, let them be a big bombastic personality.
So you want to like amplify like what they do best and just get that out there to people instead of changing them?
Yeah. And you know, that's the most important thing to understand when it comes to any kind of content creation is let's take bottom line facts, numbers. When it comes to any kind of market, any kind of, if you're doing any kind of advertising, at best, you're going to capture 3% of the market. Okay. So if you're trying to attract everybody, you're trying to get, it's like, you're going to do 3% of a market. You might as well get the 3% that align with your personality. Otherwise, you're putting on a show all the time. You're putting on a persona. You're acting all the time. And you can't, nobody can keep that up.
Yeah, and you're going to actually get those people that they align with to get more into your business.
Right.
They're going to keep coming back to, is what you're saying, right?
That's exactly right.
Awesome. So I do want to ask, what is your favorite part about being able to do this, being helping businesses out?
Yeah, my favorite part is just being able to help people understand the complexities of the market today. When I was coming up, when it came to video, advertising in general used to be a lot simpler. It was, you know, you had television, you had billboards, you had newspaper, magazines, maybe, so they're like yellow pages, 5 or 6 options, right? And that was basically it. I mean, today, and you know, if you advertised on, you know, you had like 4 stations for local news and like that was it. So it's like you could get a huge audience just by advertising on the, you know, 5 o'clock news. Like that's all you needed to do. Now everything is so, the audiences are so spread out. And then even on platforms, like if you take like Meta with like Facebook and Instagram, you've got stories, you've got reels, you've got posts, you've got carousels. So you've got like, in addition to all of these formats, you have formats within the formats. And people don't understand like how do I, and they're being pitched, you know, day in and day out. Oh, you need to do this. You need to do that. Take my, you know, $20 YouTube course and I'll make you a millionaire in 6 months, you know, that kind of stuff. So they're getting that kind of stuff and they're just confused and they don't know what to do. So the thing that's most rewarding to me is just being able to help with a little bit of clarity and let people know, hey, it's not your fault that you're confused. You're getting bombarded with information. Most of it's not true. So it's good to work with somebody that's got a little bit of a track record and kind of understands what you're getting into and how to help you along with that.
Yeah, and I've seen your approach to it as you do so much of it just yourself. Like you don't really, you show up to, especially if there's businesses that do a lot of work, like housework. I know you did, like you helped a couple roofing companies, stuff like that.
Yep.
You did the work for them. Like they had like a day on the job and you came out with the camera and that was what you did to help them get their message out there. I think that's really great that you do that instead of just trying to shove these like, I could help you with like this amount and this amount.
Yeah, no AI slop on with Joe Justice Media.
Yeah, and I mean, I respect that a lot as somebody. I mean, I did that for school and any kind of AI slop, not my kind of thing.
Yeah, and by the way, anybody listen to this, if you're using AI slop, especially in video, like quit it. Like everybody hates that stuff. You know, using it like to help out with like enhancing photos and, you know, helping out with like proofreading and copy, brainstorming, stuff like that. But like just offloading all of your cognitive load and your creative load onto an average machine, which is what AI is. It's like not a good idea, not a good look.
And especially I feel like in your field of work, if you're helping a business with AI slop, then they're going to get kind of tarnished because of the amount of just hate that it gets. Cause I'll go on TikTok and there's ChatGPT kind of ads and stuff. And I don't think there's a single positive comment that I could find on it.
No, actually it's kind of terrible because, sometimes if you make stuff look too polished now, then people will start accusing it of looking like,
oh, yeah,
AI slop. And
yeah.
It's like, I made that. That was not, I made that myself.
Yeah, that's a big problem I do see still, but I think you could still differentiate.
Well, one of the big things, LinkedIn just last week came out with a new feature where you can tag stuff as AI, which will knock it down in the feed. And YouTube has been working on that. They're talking about separating but AI and authentic, I don't know what word, there's not a term for it yet, but like actual videos and stuff like that that are produced by people. And all the platforms are figuring out ways to, but basically We don't know exactly what direction it's going in yet, but fundamentally the bottom line is they're finding ways to not show that stuff to users.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
A lot of the questions I did have for you were about chasing trends and noticing them as an advertiser like yourself. So with TikTok and how YouTube Shorts and Instagram Reels are with short form stuff, you think that that's just kind of like how channel surfing was back in the day?
Yeah. So whenever people ask me about like TikTok and things like that, I think immediately, or how things have changed, I think immediately of channel surfing. Back in the 90s when I was a kid and when cable first came out, you had like all of a sudden you had 300 channels, right? And you'd sit on a Saturday afternoon and you would just flip through the channels and you'd watch it for about 30 seconds and then you'd flip and then you'd flip. To me, that looks exactly the same as somebody scrolling through a TikTok feed. They're just watching it for a little bit and then scrolling to the next one. If they don't like it in the first 3 or 4 seconds, it visually looks the same. Like it's just like channel surfing.
Yeah. And the idea is that you want to get their attention. So they scroll back up and then they'll actually go to the channel.
Yeah. Then they'll go to your profile, right? Or the channel or whatever. And they'll say, oh, that was interesting. And then that's what they did back in the day. You'd flip through the channels until you saw something that you liked. And then you'd sit and you'd watch it for a little while.
Yeah. You go back and then you'd want to rewatch it. Just like how this is. I think that's just so interesting how that works out.
Yeah. Everything old is new again. You'll see this all through, everything just changes and it changes, but it's all the same thing.
Getting a little personal, I do want to ask what made you want to actually do this as your career?
You know, I started out my career in video production as a visual effects artist and 3D animator. And I worked for one of the only, to my knowledge, probably the only animation studio in West Virginia where we did educational programming for like math and ABCs and that kind of stuff back in the Pixar style animation, back when that was first kind of taking off. And that was always my passion. I love visual effects. I love 3D animation. I love character animation. That's my favorite thing. I could nerd out with you on Looney Tunes and Disney animation and like the history of Chuck Jones and Fleischer Studios and everything in between. That's all my favorite stuff. But I don't know if you know this or not, but you can't make a whole lot of money that way. So it's a good hobby and it's a lot of fun. But at the end of the day, you got to figure out a way to make money. But that's what I always tell people, you don't have to, you can, whatever your skill sets and your passions are, you can find ways to make money by using your skills and passions to help other people. But that doesn't necessarily mean, if you like horror movies, you might not be able to produce a horror movie, but maybe you can, find some skill set within the horror genre that you can use to create a business. There's all kinds of opportunities in that world. So that's what I did. And over the course of my career, I went, from producing educational programming, I work in the legal industry, doing video in the legal industry, and then in the marketing. And then I was a marketing director for the region's largest IT company for a while. And just a lot of the stuff that I was doing there, I was hearing from, we did a lot of work with vendors like Lenovo and HP and Dell and all those. And I just constantly, they were telling me things like, there's nobody around here that does stuff like you do, Joe. There's a lot of business around here that could really use what you do and that kind of stuff. So after a little while, I thought that probably made sense. So I just started my own company doing the same thing that I was doing for one business. I thought it would just be helpful to help multiple businesses.
What is your favorite part about working in West Virginia?
The thing I like the most about working in West Virginia is just the fact that we're close enough. Just getting away from the hustle and bustle. I guess that's probably a super generic answer, and you probably want something a little bit sexier than that. But it's like, I love New York City. I couldn't stand to live there. You couldn't pay me to live in a place like that. So you've got West Virginia. You're a few hours away from Pittsburgh, a few hours away from Lexington, a few hours away from Columbus. You can get to any of these kind of big locations. You get to Nashville in no time. Indianapolis, there's all kinds of places you can get to, but just living your day to day. And, if you want to go camping, you want to go out into the woods, you want to, go fishing, you want to go hunting. I'm not a big hunter, but lots of people like to go hunting. It's just right there. It's right in your backyard. And I talk to people in LA, friends of mine, Houston, places like that. And they tell me about their 2-hour commute to and from work every single day. And I think, man, you don't know how good you got it until you look out, you know?
Yeah. And I'm sure as a videographer, you appreciate the just the great scenery too, if you're ever helping out a business that could utilize that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's one of the, can I tell you a little story?
Yes.
That's one of the funniest things I talk to. So every now and then there's like these national companies where, you know, they'll need some video shot in West Virginia and they'll, you know, so I'm like on their Rolodex. You don't even know what a Rolodex is. I'm on their contact list of people to call if they need something. So that, like, they might be in LA, but they need something shot at the Capitol or something like that. So I was talking to one of these and they were asking me, you know, some questions of will you do this, will you do that kind of stuff. And he says, now, every now and then we might have stuff like up in Morgantown or in Beckley or someplace like that. Would you be willing to travel? And I was like, travel? Like, you can't work in West Virginia without traveling. And he says, well, some people, like if they're in Baltimore, they only work in Baltimore. They won't even go into D.C. And I'm like, we don't have that problem around here. Like, when it comes to West Virginia, it's like you work the whole state. I don't know anybody that just specializes in working in one single location.
Yeah. So my last question is, what advice could you give to people who might want to be a videographer or just go into advertising or just utilize their creative skills into something that could be useful for themselves or other people?
You know, the advice that I would give anybody, that especially creatives, and man, this is going to be tough medicine for a lot of creatives. I know a lot of creatives and they have a hard time with this. You can be creative and, you know, be creative, but your creativity has to bring value in and of itself, no matter what you do. And that's true for all businesses. If you're a business, if you're a roofer, if you're a painter, if you're a plumber, it doesn't matter how good you are. If you're a painter, you know, like a fine arts painter, if you do videography, if you're a photographer, it doesn't matter what it is. It has to bring the value to the potential customer. If you cannot articulate the value, if your value is I'm creative, that's nothing. Everybody can say that. What's the value? Is it going to be more clicks? Is it going to be more, if it's going to be more revenue, that's what you want to be able to, that's what you want to be able to say. I can get you more revenue because of X, Y, and Z. But you have to be able to articulate that value no matter what it is. And, you know, again, tough medicine. Nobody cares how good you are. Nobody cares what degrees you have. Nobody cares what school you went to. Sorry. I mean, I hate to burst your bubble, and I'm sure that you're mom's really impressed with all of the stuff that's on your wall that says that, you know, all your grades and everything like that. Nobody else cares. What can you do for me? It's even actually worse than that if you're trying to monetize your skills. It's like, what have you done for me lately? That's what everybody's going to ask you. So you have to be able to answer that. And if whether you're creative or whether you're just doing a trade job, you have to be able to answer, what's in it for me? What have you done for me? What have you done for me lately?
Absolutely. I think that's great advice. Well, Joe, thank you so much for coming on this morning.
No problem, Danny. Always happy to help out and love being here on WTSQ. I'm going to be listening to you on the way out here too.
Thank
here
you so much.
Status Quo. Love your music taste, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got, I was listening to, you were playing some Nine Inch Nails when we first came in.
Oh, yeah.
You can't go wrong with Nine Inch Nails.
You really can't. I saw them live recently.
Is that right?
Yeah, amazing.
I bet.
So for the folks listening, we're going to have a little bit of some messages from underwriters. We're going to come back with a little bit of Wet Leg. Keep it right here on WTSQ, The Status Quo.
WTSQ 88.1 FM, The Status Quo.